Mark is 50 years old and was diagnosed with kidney cancer about a year and a half ago. He's married, has two teenage sons and a teenage daughter. Let's hear what he says about the impact of his diagnosis on his family.
Since my cancer surgery, some things have had to change permanently in our family. Before, we all knew what our jobs were around the house. Everything went pretty smoothly. My wife and I both work outside the house and at home. We had different things to take care of. I kept up with the cars and things that needed to be done around the house. I also paid the bills and managed our finances. My wife took care of all the shopping and kept everybody organised. Our teenage kids concentrated on their schoolwork, sports and summer jobs. Since I've had cancer, my wife and our kids have had to do a lot more of my share. My sons take turns at cutting the grass and doing the gardening, but they can't really handle the harder maintenance jobs. My daughter is now in charge of getting the cars serviced on schedule and has to drive me to doctor's appointments sometimes. My wife is working overtime to help make ends meet, so I feel dependent, almost useless. Sometimes, when I'm really frustrated, I get mad at them for no reason. I don't mean to. I just want to get back to normal.
A family is a social system. Change in one part of the system causes change in the other parts. A cancer diagnosis for one family member can change the way the entire family communicates and gets along. Sometimes the change can have long-lasting effects on all family members. Many researchers have found that some of the most difficult problems that people living with cancer face are the reactions of people closest to them, their family members, friends and co-workers. Let's listen to our oncology social worker, Linda, explain this in more detail.
Families can take all different forms, and in times of trouble, we usually think of families as a refuge, a place of support. Even the word home has special significance for most people in times of stress. Stress is an expected part of family life, but cancer can put extraordinary stress on families. For some families, the challenge of cancer can offer the chance for personal growth and can actually strengthen bonds within the family. But extreme and prolonged stress can have a negative effect on even the strongest and closest families. During the initial cancer crisis, families face many new and often tough challenges. Family members need to find the right kinds of information to help make treatment decisions. They must decide who to tell about the diagnosis and what to tell them. As we heard from Mark, family members may need to take on new responsibilities, at least for a while. They may also have to make tough financial decisions. They have to find ways to support one another emotionally and manage their fears and uncertainties. Each of these changes requires family communication. Open communication and finding ways to talk about feelings within the family are crucial to creating a healing environment and for helping each other gain the strength necessary to deal with the long-term effects of cancer. Remember that, while separate cancer crises may come and go, cancer itself is a long-term illness. You will need to maintain or develop good communication skills so your family can adapt over the long haul. And you need an understanding of what kinds of factors create communication barriers so you can overcome them. For example, family members may have differing views about cancer treatment. They too are frightened and concerned for their loved ones. Is the cancer really gone? Will it come back? They may think the treatment is not aggressive enough or that it's too aggressive. Sometimes they may disagree with the doctor's recommendations. Good communication and getting answers to their questions can help family members feel more secure. But it is the person with cancer who has to have the final word about health-related issues. Family disagreements and undue pressure about treatment and about the health habits of the person with cancer only add to the stress level of the whole family. Serious illness can often intensify the strong relationships that already exist within a family. But sometimes it can also intensify existing family problems. For example, if a child is not doing well in school, his or her grades are not likely to improve when an additional family problem like cancer comes up. Likewise, marital or financial problems often get worse when someone in the family develops a serious illness. Substance abuse, including excessive use of alcohol, use of illegal drugs, misuse of prescription drugs, as well as eating disorders, may also become more severe for a family member or the person living beyond cancer when new problems arise. Sometimes, existing problems do seem to self-correct for a short time as everyone focuses on an immediate cancer crisis. Eventually, however, the increased stress usually takes its toll. If someone in your family has a personal problem or is caught up in destructive behaviour, you may want to suggest that they seek counselling, or you could consider going together for family therapy. If a loved one will not seek help, you can seek counselling without them, so you can get help in managing your own responses to any ongoing family problem and to any new issues that may arise. I always talk with people about specific ways to avoid common barriers to family communication. First, keep cancer in perspective. Cancer can be treated, controlled, or managed. Don't let the negative myths and fears about cancer get in the way of family communication. The person living after cancer treatment and his or her family members need accurate and honest information about cancer, its treatment, cancer recovery, as well as long-term survival, including recurrences and possible second cancers. Secondly, periodically review the ways in which family roles and activities have changed or may need to change. For example, will you need to delay or cancel a holiday or family event this year? Have finances changed? And if so, what does that mean for your family? On the other hand, talk about things that have remained the same or don't need to be changed. It's important to remind each other of the love you have for one another, the value of family time, and the need to continue special activities and celebrations that keep you together as a family. If family roles have changed, are the changes temporary or more permanent? One suggestion I often make is to change assignments or responsibilities among family members, when possible every few months. This way, nobody becomes too burdened by any one task or responsibility. It usually helps to avoid having all of the personal care tasks fall on only one person. Consider asking the teenager in the family and close family friends to share the care. For example, a teenager who drives could take you to doctor's visits or other appointments. This will enable the teenager to learn more about your treatment and progress, and will also provide an opportunity for conversation between the two of you. A third suggestion for avoiding barriers to communication is to think about and plan exactly how you are going to go back to work and other outside activities. Many friends, neighbours and co-workers will be curious about your illness and prognosis. Some people will ask questions because they care about you and want to be supportive, but you don't need to feel like you have to share the details of your health with everyone who asks. You and your family may want to discuss what sort of information everyone is comfortable with sharing with people outside the family. The Cancer Council has a social worker who is available to help families experiencing difficulties with these sorts of issues. The social worker can be accessed through the Cancer Council helpline, 13 11 20.
Communicating with people who you feel uncomfortable with or you feel are being intrusive can be really difficult for many people. Listen to Mark's experience on an issue that might seem relatively minor, but can be a continual stumbling block for some people living beyond cancer.
One of the things that I've found could be difficult about communicating was when people would not believe me, when I would tell them how I was feeling. There was one lady at work who was always asking me how I was feeling, and if I said I was fine, she would look at me as if I was lying, and would sometimes say things to me like, "How are you feeling really?" It's not like I'm even friends with her outside work, and sometimes I resent her being nosy.
Discussing and even practicing different kinds of responses with close family members might help Mark to come up with a simple statement that will stop people asking these kinds of questions. Sometimes people will not pick up on subtle hints, and you may find that you need to make your feelings very clear to people. Let's listen to some of Linda's suggestions.
You might simply ask, "Why don't you believe me when I tell you I'm fine?" Or sometimes humour does the trick. You could ask, "What are you doing? Writing a book about me?" Or you may need to be clear that you are beyond discussing the cancer. What you want to talk about is the future or how things are going at work. The responses should be ones that you are comfortable saying. Take time to think about and talk through responses to these kinds of questions so that you are prepared when you need to be. A fourth suggestion for avoiding barriers to communication is to avoid a family burnout. We usually think of burnout affecting an individual who's been under a lot of stress coping with a physically or an emotionally difficult situation over a long time. Burnout sets in when that person finally reaches the point at which he or she is completely wiped out, drained of the energy and motivation needed to keep on coping. The same thing can happen to a family that's been coping with a stressful situation, like caring for a family member with cancer over a long time. Family burnout can occur during the initial cancer crisis and over the duration of treatment that may extend for many months or even years. The signs of burnout range from physical symptoms like fatigue and exhaustion, frequent headaches, or sleeplessness, to behavioural and psychological symptoms, such as being quick to anger, feelings of being unappreciated, and being unable to make decisions. Sometimes symptoms lead to escapist behaviour, and an individual may start using alcohol or drugs to avoid the overwhelming feelings of stress. Sometimes stress can lead to domestic violence, while many families affected by cancer never experience these sorts of problems. Those who do should seek professional help. Two major signs of burnout are increased cynicism and feelings of being indispensable. You or your loved ones may become cynical about the treatment plan or about the healthcare team, or you may start feeling despair that the situation will never get better. This cynicism may be linked to anger, and you may be directing your angry feelings about the situation or your sense of hopelessness at family members, your friends, or your doctor. On the other hand, family members may direct their anger and frustration at the family member with cancer. If this is happening, it needs to be addressed directly. A social worker is a good resource for issues like this. Feeling indispensable is another sign of burnout. Some family members may believe that they always have to be involved in caregiving, no matter how tired or stressed out they are. They may set aside their own personal goals, gratification, or even health, so that they can always be around to help their loved one. Some people call this the martyr complex, when one person sacrifices personal well-being for the family's sake. It is very important that all family members take care of their own health. This means eating right, exercising, and taking time to relax and get enough rest. If not, the martyr may suffer burnout and could become resentful. And you may begin to feel smothered by a loved one who is so worried about you that they want to do everything for you. They need to know that part of your life after cancer treatment involves getting back to being independent. The entire family, including the family member with cancer, should try to continue outside interests, hobbies, sports, and exercise programs as much as possible. If not, this can be an area of family conflict. Sometimes family members feel like the individual with cancer isn't trying hard enough to get back to normal. On the other hand, family members can become overprotective, and some even have difficulty giving up the caretaker role. You may feel you're ready to return to work and that it would be helpful to feel productive again, but your spouse or partner may worry that it will be too much for you or that you'll have a setback if you return to work or other activities too soon. If this creates a conflict, you may want to discuss your options with your doctor, oncology nurse, mental health professional, or physiotherapist to discuss what level of activity might be right for you as you recover. A final suggestion for avoiding barriers to communication is to work at becoming better at asking for what you need. This applies to both the person who has gone through cancer treatment as well as to family members. At times of serious illness and increased tension, many people put their own needs on hold and feel that it would be selfish to ask for something they personally want, or that it would be wrong to keep up with their own personal interests. After a while, this denial of personal needs can become the family norm, and resentment builds up. Do not assume that other family members know what you think, feel, or need. They are involved in the same situation and may not have taken your needs into account. Similarly, you may have overlooked their needs and concerns. Eventually, you and your family will return to normal, but it will be a new normal. Living with a diagnosis and history of cancer does change some things, but not all change is bad. In fact, managing a serious medical condition over an extended period of time frequently leads to a higher level of functioning for the entire family. Families often draw closer together and can handle minor problems and stresses more easily. They may be able to communicate with each other more directly. They may get to know one another better and be able to recognize and acknowledge one another's strengths and weaknesses and provide support as needed. Good family communication skills can be learned, but you may need to get some specific guidance for dealing with cancer-related communication issues. If your family doesn't have the communication skills it needs, help is available. Try talking with someone from your healthcare team or access the Cancer Council Supportive Care Service through the helpline on 13 11 20. You might like to attend a support group or seek some individual or family counselling from the Cancer Council's Counselling Service.